Good afternoon.
Hello, good afternoon.
How are you? You're the first.
Okay.
I'll wait a couple of minutes and then I'll start. And then by the time we finish the introduction phase, I'm sure people will become.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and mute to be ready.
No problem.
Okay, I'm going to send you an email later. Okay, also got the monthly in the mail, so be expecting it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right, okay.
Please join me in saying the Anna Bikoa. Anna Bikoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Serra, Alfekimo Yuta Sadi, Kabel Rinat, Amcha Sagrinu. Aharenu Nora Ufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Hudha Bivavat Shamre Nun Gimaldalad Yut Kashin Barhem Taharem Rahame Sitkacha Tamid Gamle Betet Resh Saritav Gimel Chasin Kadosh Pirot Ufa Nael Adata Petuf Betet Nunayan Yachid Geye Lamcha Pene Zohre Kidushata Yud Gimelamet Pezayim Kuf Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tadiyutaf. We have brought the energy of creation into our place. We will now separate between the right column energy and the left column energy, utilizing the 13 attributes of mercy. Adonai Yohewahe, Adonai Yohewahe, El Rahum Vechanun, Erech Apayim, Virav Chesed Ve'emet. Notzer chesed la'alafim, noseah won wafesha v'chata'ah v'nakeh. We're now going to connect to the energy of certainty, utilizing a verse from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29, from the Sula. Commentary on the Zohar. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudsha b'richu ishkinte b'tzilu urchimu tzilu tzilu urchimu. L'yachda l'shem yudhei b'vavhe b'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. Vayino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananeh aleinu maaseh yadeinu kananehu. Babia ba mar bika ma tar tane nand kuja pari hu koma de aved le ela witata ko lai hu kishot biovada ikshot pele lach mila bialma divae barnash ledach yale ya mine ya ulamaga peya kalana tehasulu ovada ikshot inun wikolai spirit bialma. The energy of the year 5779, the current year, is to become wiser. There are five verses that we study to connect to this energy from the Tanakh. These verses, three of these verses, have the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Tet, concealed within them. In all three verses, the separation between the letters of the name of the year is two letters each. These two letters represent the blockages that need to be removed in order to make our connection to becoming wiser easier. The first verse that we study is Leviticus chapter 26, verse 18. Imadele lo tishmeuli, we asafti liasra etchem sheva al chatotechem. The second verse we study is from the prophet Isaiah, it's chapter 36, verse 6. Hine vatachta al mishenet hakaneh haratzutzeh al mitraim masher yisameh ishalav uvabekapo unkava kem paro melech mitraim L'chol habodfim alav. The third verse comes from the prophet Micha. It's chapter 6, verse 13. V'gam ani heheleiti hakotecha hashmem al hakatotecha. Tonight, we enter the month of Shavat. And there are 13 verses that connect to the energy of becoming wiser. Because their first letter is a hey and their last letter is a tet. The fifth of those verses, we will study all the month of Shavat, comes from Isaiah. It's chapter 49, verse 24. Ha mi gibor malchoach v'im shevi tzadik yimalet. The English translation, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the captives of the victorious be delivered. And you'll notice that the word tzaddik is within the verse in the Hebrew, but you don't see its normal translations associated with the verse, the English translation. And that just leads you to understand that the verse in the English is a corrupted understanding. The fifth verse that we study to become wiser is from the book of Job. It's chapter 41, verse 22. Ta ta ha chares ir par charutz aleitit. The year 5778 has the energy of bowing to Hashem in order to walk with Hashem. It's essentially removing the arrogance of our ego. The first of the two verses that connect to the year 5778 that we study is 2 Samuel chapter 13, verse 6. Vayishkav Amnon vayitchal vayavo hamelech liroto vayomer Amnon el hamelech tavo nat amar Achoti Utlavib Leve Leene Shete Levi Vot Vievre Miaga. The second verse that we study from connecting to the year 5778 is from Psalms chapter 32, verse 5. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashkin Ayin Chet. The letters that separate these letters of the name of the year is three letters each. Chat Tati Odiaha Wawoni Lo Kisiti Amarti ode ale peshai Ladonai ohe wahe viata nasata Awon chatati sela. The year 5777, the year of the wake-up, which is also the year of the goat, has two verses as well, connecting to its energy. The first that we study is Lamentations chapter 3, verse 52. Tzotz Aduni katzipor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're creating Tzatzkiyah, which translates as a fear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we have Dir Yam, which translates as a sea of tenants. The second verse that we study connecting to this energy is from Joshua, chapter 23, verse 8. Concealed in this verse is the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion. And the separation between the letters to make the concealment is seven letters each. Im va Adonai, yo he wahe. Eloheichem tadevaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh. The year 5776, the year of the pause, also has two verses that connect to its energy. The first that we study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Raka kohanim ha'yulimat v'lo yachlu lahavshit et kol ha'olot v'yehaskum acheichem ha'levim ad kelot hamlacha v'ad yitgadshu ha'kohanim. Ki ha-livim yishrei levav lehitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. There are 25 words in this verse. When we take the first letters, we're able to permute them into 8 names of God. Here are those names. Bichu Adonai, excuse me. Adonai Yohe Wahe La La He Wa 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 Yo La Yo Ala Me He 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 Aka A Reka Ha. The second verse that connects to the year 5776 is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bichu Va Adonai Yohe Wahe Adead Kibia Yohe Adonai Yohe Wahe Surolami. The year 5775 has the energy of swallowing death forever. There are 3 verses that connect to this energy. The first that we study is from Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo tishe mimeni, lo tarpeni ad bili ruki. Next, we will study 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Uru udu mikol hamachavoyam, asher yichabe sham v'shavtem elai el nahor. V'halakti itchem v'chayayim yeshno v'aretz v'chipasti oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It's chapter 20, verse 7. V'gelo lanetzach yoved ro'av yom ru'ayo. The year 5774 has only one verse connecting to its energy of peace in the Middle East. The verse is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisamti makom le'ami li'Yisrael untati v'shatan ta'atav v'lo yirgaz od v'lo yosifu. Vene avla la anoto ka asher barishona. We will now connect to the energy of the 72 names of God, utilizing the tool of saying the letter with its root vowel out loud in sequence. Wahe wayo la yo sayote alame. Mehe shi la la he aka aka heta eza yo ala da la awa he he ya yoza la me be he he re yo he ko me la awa ka la yo la wa wa pe he la nu la ha yo 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 me la he 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 wa. Nuta he he a yo re ta shi a he re yo yo a wa me la ka be wa shi re yo he wa la he he ka wa ko me nu da a nu yo he a me re he a yo yo za he 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 me yo ha wa wa la yo la he sa ala areyo Ashila me yo hey, awam hey wa da nu yo. Hey hey, she ame me, nu nu a nu yota. Me be hey, te wa yo, nu mate me yo yo la. Te re hey, mate sa re, wa me be yo hey hey. A nu wa me hey yo. Da me be me nu ko. A yo a he be wa. Re a he yo be me. He yo yo me wa me. We will now connect to the 72 names that were revealed by the Tzaddikim using the same tool. Wa 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 yo 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 sa be te a a me be be shi la yo he anu a ka me ta he he yo anu da la he wa he me a yo ta la me re he he yo yo he me me la wa wa ka be yo la yo wa pe nu la nu me ha yo he yo me nu he te he wa nu yo he he shi a yo re ta shi a he re la yo a wa me la yo be wa he re yo yo wa la he he ka a ko me nu da a nu yo he wa me re he a yo he za he shi he me ha ha wa wa la yo yo he sa a la re yo a a la me ta he wa he wa da la yo he yo shi a la me nu he a nu wa ta me la he he a yo nu ko me yo re la he be he me za re wa ze wa he be yo a he a la wa me za yo da he be me ka ko a la a he he wa re la he yo yo me he la yo me ta me he be. The Tzaddikim who left this day, which is the 29th day of Tibet, Rabbi Yehoshua Lieb Diskin, Rabbi Yerachmiel Yisrael Yitzhak of Alexander, Rabbi Marcus Noson Adler, Rabbi Meir Chodosh, Rabbi Daniel Levy, Rabbi Chaim Shamshon Shwiatzikid, Rabbi Yitzhak Kaduri. And Rabbi Kaduri is one of the Kabbalists of the generation. He passed in 2006. And since that time, I'm not aware of anyone who has revealed themselves as a true Kabbalist. Rabbi Kaduri and Rabbi Berg were the last of the revealed Kabbalists who had passed. There are, as in our normal pattern, there are people who passed on the first of Shvat, which begins this evening. And I remind you that we will have our Rosh Chodesh event for Shvat at 4 p.m. West Coast time. The Tzaddikim who left the first of Shvat, Shaul HaMelech, the first king of Israel, and his sons, Jonathan ben Shaul HaMelech, the sole brother of King David, and his other sons, the whole family, died in the family against battle against the Philistines, except for one son that King David treated quite well. Rabbi Nosim Nota of Helm, Rabbi Benjamin Rabinowitz, he is the son of Rabbi Aryeh Mordechai Lieb, Rabbi Moshe Sheik, known as the Maharam Sheik, Rabbi Moshe Yehiel Halevi Epstein from Ozerov, Rabbi Avraham Yehuda Farbstein, and Rebbetzin Menucha Etel Nikritz. The eighth verse of the Anabakoach we say in a whisper. We're now going to say the Shema Yisrael in case any one of our members of our community have not yet said it this morning. We're only saying the first two lines. Please cover your eyes so as not to connect to the Shekinah with an inappropriate vessel, and the left column, and lean slightly to the left. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. We have a meditation that you can find on the Unique Astrological Events link, which is underneath the two pictures on the right of every Hashem webpage, or at the bottom of the mobile devices on the Hashem webpage. In any event, when the page opens up, the last link on the page is the meditation called the Ani Meditation. It is a meditation that connects us to the central column of the Tree of Life, and it helps us to maintain balance in our life on many different levels. We start at the bottom of page one, but if you have not read the meditation and its explanation, I suggest you do so. Malchut Yoaheni Wayohe, Yoaheni Wayohe, Yoaheni Wayohe, Yisod Yuahuni Wuyohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Hod. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. You ahuni wu yohu. Netzach. Yi ahini wu yohi. Yi ahini wu yohi. Yi ahini wu yohi. Tiferet, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho, Yo Ahoni Wo Yoho, Gevura, Yeah, Niwi Yoch, Yeah, Niwi Yoch, Yeah, Niwi Yoch, Hesed, Yeah, Hani Wo Yohe, Yeah, Hani Wo Yohe. Yeah, anyway, oh, yeah. na. Ye aheni wayo hey. Ye aheni wayo hey. Ye aheni wayo hey. Hakma. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Keter. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. Ya ahani wayo ha. We will now say the abridged Kaddish. The Kaddish is said many times in the Orthodox community in their various prayers. The Kaddish acts as an elevator that either raises you to a higher level or lowers you in a balanced way to a lower level. We say this Kaddish in order to elevate ourselves in preparation for the class that we will be studying this today. Yitkadal yitkadashime Rabbah, and everyone says Amen. Ve'almadi rakirute v'am lichmalchute v'chayecho nuviyomecho uv'chaye dekol beit Yisrael v'agala v'zman kariv. It barafish da bafi par vid romam vid nase vita dar vita levita la shemeda kucha le elamin ko birkata vishirata tushpechata vene nechemata ta miran bialma. Shlama Rabba min Shabaya V'chaim aleinu Yaakov Yisrael V'imru Amen. Ose shalom bimromav U'yase shalom aleinu Yaakov Yisrael V'imru Amen. Our class today is the Sevre Mashiach, the birth pangs of Mashiach. You can find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 8, the right-hand column. When the birth pangs landing page opens up, please scroll down to class 3G. That's G as in grand, which is covering Daniel for chapter 7. When that page opens up, there is a link that takes you to the Mechon Mamre books on Daniel. And I will be reading only the English due to time considerations, but I recommend that you do study the Hebrew by scanning it if you don't read it, or reading it if you are able. Verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Verse 2. Daniel spoke and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven broke forth upon the great sea. Verse 3. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The fourth verse. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon 2 feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. The fifth verse, and behold another beast, a second like a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And it was said thus unto it, Arise, devour much flesh. The sixth verse. After this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the sides of its 4 wings of a fowl. The beast had also 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. The seventh verse. After this I saw in the night's visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped the residue with its feet, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. The eighth verse. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. The ninth verse. I beheld till thrones were placed, and one that was Ancient of Days did sit. His raiment was as white snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, and the wheels thereof of burning fire. The tenth verse. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. The 11th verse. I beheld at that time, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and its body destroyed, and it was given to be burned with fire. The 12th verse. And as for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, there came with the clouds of heaven one like unto a son of man, and he came even to the Ancient of Days, and he was brought near before him. And the 14th verse. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion was an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. The 15th verse. And as for me, Daniel, my spirit was pained in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head affrighted me. The 16th verse. I came near unto one of them that stood by, and asked him the truth concerning all this. So he told me, and made me know the interpretation of the things. The 17th verse. These great beasts which are 4 kings that shall arise out of the earth. The 18th verse. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. The 19th verse. Then I desired to know the truth concerning the fourth beast, which was diverse from all of them, exceedingly terrible, whose teeth were of iron, and its nails of brass, which broke into pieces and stamped the residue with its feet. The 20th verse. And concerning the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up and before which 3 fell, even that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spoke great things, whose appearance was greater than that of its fellows. Verse 21. I beheld, and that same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given for the saints of the Most High. And the time came, and the saints possessed the kingdom. Verse 23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all the kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it into pieces. Verse 24. And as for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom shall 10 kings arise, and another shall arise after them, and he shall be diverse from the former, and he shall put down 3 kings. Verse 25. And he shall speak words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change the seasons and the law, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and half a time. Verse 26. But the judgment shall sit, and his dominion shall be taken away, to be consumed and to be destroyed unto the end. Verse 27. And the kingdom and the dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Their kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey them. And the 28th verse. Here is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts much affrighted me, and my countenance was changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. Let us return to the handout, and we will discuss the commentary on chapter 7. I'm sure you're all just as frightened as Daniel. But let us come to truly understand these dreams and always remember what appears to frighten is really Hashem's mercy. There is no before and after in the Torah. The dreams of Daniel recounted in the present chapter are dated to the first year of Belshazzar, the king of Babylon, which was prior to his overthrow by Darius the Mede, who was the central character in the previous chapter. And I am adding, in the mind of Hashem there is no before or after, only cause and effect. And this is why the sages teach there is no before or after in the Torah. They could say there is no time in the Torah, yet this would not be as well understood by students of Kabbalah. It also allows us to realize the spiritual rule, to reveal one is to conceal two. Do you know what is the second item being concealed by this revealment? Daniel is not considered as one of the prophets, yet his dreams and visions reach to the most sublime heights of the universe. The present vision, beginning with the four winds churning up the great sea. The great sea is Bina, the sea of wisdom, comprising the 50 gates of understanding. This encompasses the entire sweep of world history, from the ascendancy of Babylon until the end of time and the rule of Melech HaMashiach, the king of Yehuda, the king Mashiach. A single stone lion is all that remains today in the ruins of ancient Babylon in Iraq to testify to the lost glory of the fallen empire. Many similar carved images of all kinds of fearsome beasts must have adorned the Babylonian capital in its heyday, and these would have helped make the imagery in Daniel's account of his dream of monsters even more real and graphic in the minds of those who heard them in his time and afterwards. And as an unwritten commentary, I'm reminding you, it says that Daniel kept them secret. We understand the verses in chapter 7. Daniel did not disclose these to the people of his generation, but wrote a scroll, wrote them down, and they became included in the book of Daniel. Rashi, the foremost commentator on the Torah, living about the 1100s, on verse 4, he brings proof texts from Jeremiah associating the first monster, the lion with eagle's wings, with the empire of Babylon itself, which in the time of Belshazzar was just about to have its wings clipped and get cut down to size. The second monster in the form of a bear is associated with Persia, then in the ascendant, since the Persians eat and drink like a bear and are wrapped in a thick coat of flesh like a bear. The three ribs in its mouth correspond to the three kings of Persia, Cyrus, Ahasuerus, and Darius, the Persian. The leopard in verse 6 is associated with Greece, and its four wings correspond to the four kingdoms into which the Greek Empire split after the death of Alexander of Macedon. The Greeks were compared to a leopard because they imposed a succession of evil decrees against the Jews that were like the leopard spots, each one strange and different from the others. Daniel's vision of the fourth monster came in a separate dream on its own in verse 7, because it was more powerful than the three that preceded it. Rashi and Rabbi Sadia Gaon agree that the fourth monster alludes to Aram, to Edom, to Rome, and that its 10 horns correspond to the 10 emperors up until Vespasian, in whose time the second temple was destroyed. Where these two commentators differ is on the identification of the little horn that came up among the others, which had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking great things. Rashi identifies this with the ranting Titus, who entered the temple sanctuary in Jerusalem with a harlot before desecrating and destroying it. Rashi does not mention the empire of Ishmael, which is less than surprising when we consider that he was living in 11th century France, Germany, in what was part of the well-entrenched Holy Roman Empire. On the other hand, Rabbi Sadia Gaon, who lived a century earlier in Egypt and Israel and could witness the rise of Islam from close at hand, identifies the 11th horn with Ishmael. In Rabbi Sadia's commentary on Nebuchadnezzar, on his dream of the statue of gold and silver, bronze, iron, and clay, in chapter 2 of Daniel, he discusses in detail the complex interrelationship between Aram, Edom, and Ishmael, and their respective spheres of influence. Ramban, in his letters, identifies the mouth speaking great things with the founder of Islam. I am adding, Muhammad, the founder of the Muslim religion, was illiterate and spoke the Quran to a Jewish scribe. Continuing, as I looked, thrones were placed and the Ancients of Days sat. The depiction of the heavenly court sitting in judgment over the world is the source of many Kabbalistic teachings about God's providence, including the name given in the Zohar to the divine Partsuf of Arikanpin, Atik Yomin, the Ancient of Days. His garb like white snow and the hair of his head like clean wool alludes to the attributes of loving kindness and compassion that characterize the Partsuf of Arikanpin. One by one, the successive monsters were cast aside until the fourth was destroyed and burned up by fire. Their lives were prolonged only for a season and a time, until one, like a son of man, came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. All the commentators agree that the Son of Man is Mashiach. Note that he is not called the Son of God, who will receive dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all the peoples, nations, and tongues should serve him, an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and a kingdom that shall not be destroyed. I came to one of them that stood by, verse 16, and it was an angel, an intelligent celestial being, that Daniel turned for an explanation of the vision. The angel told Daniel that in the end of the kingdom will be inherited by Kadishe Elyon, the holy ones of the Most High. These are the restored, rectified saints, the Tzaddikim and the Tzaddikot of Israel. This would imply it would be after the resurrection of the dead. This is an unwritten commentary of mine. As to when this will happen, our text is, of course, famously cryptic. Speaking to Daniel 2,300 years ago, the angel revealed that the 11th horn would inflict many painful decrees and chastisements upon Israel for a season, and seasons and a half a season. Anyone who wants to speculate on how long this may be is welcome to do so. But those who believe with simple faith will take on trust the words of Rabbi Sadia Gaon. All the sages and commentators, including those with genuine Torah knowledge, have found no way to unlock and understand this calculation. And no one knows the secret except Hashem, as it is written, "For the day of vengeance is in my heart." It's a verse from Isaiah. If the heart has not revealed it to the mouth, How would the mouth reveal it to a mere angel? We simply have to wait and hope until he will have mercy on his people and his city. And may we all say, Amen. Next Sunday, we will study chapter 8. There's a lot of information in these dreams, and they can be interpreted by each one of us differently, and both all of the different interpretations will come true, even today. One needs to be very cautious in determining what the dreams mean. Our sages, the one important aspect to remember and realize is that the Tzaddikim will be in charge. And that comes from a deep understanding of the relationship of the Sanhedrin to King Mashiach and to the high priest, and how the government needs to operate, and why it is composed of three components. Does anyone have any questions?
This is Malka. I have two questions.
Go ahead.
The first is in the beginning when you said when one was revealed, two will be concealed. Is there a revelation to that readings or statement?
There's a whole essay by Rabbi Ashlag, and it's on the Yeshem website in his classes, in our classes of Rabbi Ashlag's essays. We haven't completed all of his essays, but that's one of them. And its title is Reveal One, Conceal Two.
Okay.
If you're not able to find it, send me an email and I will forward you the link.
Okay. Let me
finish quickly. If you still have questions about that concept, which is really very deep, you can ask them on the question and answer session, or send me an email and we can discuss it privately. Now go ahead with your second question.
The Tzaddikim and Tzaddikot, is that, or are we talking about, there's many places in the Zohar and or the Tanakh that states the Tzaddikim. Is that referring to like the matriarchs, the patriarchs, the sages? I know there's three systems, which is the king and the justice system and the high priest. So my question is, every time we see someone mentioned as a Tzaddikim, would those be the highly elevated saints? Can we associate that with some names in the Zohar and our Tanakh?
If I understand your question, you're asking really how do we identify who is a tzaddik? Who are the tzaddikets, the female form, female
right.
people who are righteous, and the tzaddik who is righteous? If that's what I'm understanding from your question.
That is the question.
The Tzaddikim and the Tzaddikets are achieve their tikkun. Each and every human being is capable of becoming a righteous, a tzaddik or a tzaddeket for a moment, for one instant, meaning one period of time. It may be a long part of their life or a short part of their life. The problem is that when we utilize binding by striking, we are righteous. We are tzaddikim and tzaddekets. Why can't we stay there? Why can't we utilize binding by striking at every moment? This is the struggle that we each and every one of us have, because the evil inclination, when we do binding by striking, the evil inclination says right and supports the good inclination with its energy, with its power, with its strength. But it's not controlled completely. It becomes free and it starts to influence us again to do what is not righteous. How do we identify righteous people? The easiest way is to dig up a grave. We are not going to do that. We're not going to go through that process. But if we were to dig up a grave, we would see if the person in that grave, their body decomposed, or it stayed vibrant and alive. I've had the experience of watching television at 2 or 3 in the morning 15 years ago, and the program was about a pathologist. I think that's the term. He was a guy who did autopsies. And he was asked to perform an autopsy on Edgar Medgar, who was a civil rights activist in Mississippi. And when he opened the casket after 28 years, Medgar Evers' body had not decomposed one bit, except for a small amount in a certain part of his left hand. What it indicated to the students of Kabbalah, to the knowledgeable people, was Medgar Evers is a tzaddik. And all of his work has been accomplished except for that one little area that decomposed. And that will obviously will reincarnate, probably as an ibur, to achieve its tikkun with respect to what it did wrong. Each of us is capable of becoming a tzaddik. And we have a list of tzaddikim. You can start with the list of tzaddikim that is on the Yeshem website that I mention daily. It's an amazing tool to read those names, and they include Adam, the first man, and Chava, the first woman. They include the patriarchs. They include the names of the 12 tribes, the progenitors of the 12 tribes. They include many of the people mentioned in the Tanakh. But they include them in their completed stage. How can we identify who is a tzaddik? Utilize your intuition. In our generation, you have many, many people who are speaking out, this rabbi is amazing. everything he says comes true. We know that the Chabad Rebbe and his father-in-law are the two known tzaddikim buried in America. We know of many tzaddikim buried in Russia and in those environs. We know of many tzaddikim buried in Israel. How can you know who is righteous? Utilize your own intuitive sense. A human being can be righteous and then lose that level of consciousness. A tzaddik is one who has attained that level of consciousness and maintains it. And I know my answer has been lengthy, but it is necessary. And it's an excellent question. Are there any other questions?
I have one. It's Anna.
Go ahead.
Okay. Being these were dreams, and you've taught us that if we have a dream, we shouldn't share it with more than two people. And if we're the ones helping or talking to that person, we always should explain it in a positive way. And it should always be someone that you love that you share the dream with. Okay, there's also a prayer in several places in the Art Scroll prayer book, Siddur. For having a bad dream that you want Hashem to turn into a good dream. Is there any reason why on an individual basis, as each one of us, that prayer could be said in relation to Daniel's dreams, because it was more than one? That came to my mind.
The answer to your question takes some understanding of levels of consciousness. There is a Kabbalistic technique that is only done in the Kabbalistic minyans, which is to form a bet din, a court of three people, who will not listen to the dream. The dream needs to be said to only one person within the community that the synagogue is related to. And that person goes to the Bet Din and says, this needs to be done. And the Bet Din will take the dream and minimize it in the process that it goes through. The dream is as if it was not done. The interpretations are as if they are not done. Saying a prayer, for that purpose by yourself lacks the connection to a Bet Din, unless you are on a level to call a Bet Din of people who have left the world. If you're Sadiqim, if you're able to call the Sadiqim through that prayer, then that Bet Din would activate and minimize the dream. But the other issue is, how do you know it's a negative dream? If you go to someone who loves you and they interpret it positively, do you want to change it? If a dream seems to you to be negative, but it's been interpreted positively by someone who is on a level of consciousness higher than yours, then your interpretation, your understanding will not be affected. It won't go into effect. Only the positive interpretation goes into effect. Now, if in your dream you find an angel, as Daniel did, who gave him the interpretation, are we in our physical bodies able to minimize that particular interpretation? My answer would be no. That angel is, Daniel is in a higher level because he's in an earlier generation. The angel that he spoke to, who interpreted it for him, is obviously on a higher level than Daniel at that time. So your question, can we change Daniel's? Yes, if we are higher than the interpretation of that angel. If we could find three Kabbalists in our generation who would sit in a Bet Din, they could minimize Daniel's dream. But again, why? What is the purpose of his dream? The dream, with all of the chaos described in it, essentially says the Tzaddikim and the Tzaddeket are in control throughout each and every year. Why would you want to change that? It's a rhetorical question, of course, and it's certainly not meant as a criticism.
Well, it's just that in one of our lessons, I have no idea which one, during the week, phrases will come to you from something that we have in one of our lessons. And one was the idea about there were 7 years of famine and there were 7 years, supposedly, from Joseph, the 7 years of plenty and then the seven
right.
years of famine. Okay, so I guess
right.
it was about that time. But the 7 years of famine didn't last but two, because Jacob
correct.
Entered Egypt, okay? So as you were teaching this, and I do have a commentary, another one, a book on Daniel, and the only thing is when I turn to seven, I usually try to read it ahead of the lesson, but I didn't get to. But just turning to seven, to chapter seven, I just read one little line, and it said that Daniel was a scribe, but before he would write anything down, he had to profess it first. He had to say it orally. So what we got from the book of Daniel is just an outline. And because of seeing that some of these words spoken, and I'm seeing certain ministers arising on the scene that are very knowledgeable, that have Jewish background, that have converted and changed, and they're being very influential, and put all that together, and I just felt like it was saying, oh, we're just one little person, each one of us, but there's bound to be something to be done, not so much saying that you're asking to change things, but always that you can call on Hashem's mercy. And I thought of that prayer with the dreams, because I know it's for sure it's in the Art Scrolls to do it twice. And so that was the reason for my question. To me, you never really know.
I understand the reason for the question. Hannah, I understand the reason for the question. And I said, if we are on a level high enough, we can change it. I just don't think that there's anybody in our generation on that level.
I always feel like always feel like I'm down at the bottom of the barrel. So I just cry for Hashem's mercy. And the Zadokim keeps pestering me, you know, like the physician did, you know, to get him back listed on the month of Shabbat. I mean, I just, you know, then you just keep after it. That's all, yeah, that's all I know.
I have done that for the seventh day
of
Shabbat.
I know, but you know how he bothered me for so long. I kept trying to sweep him away, and lo and behold, he'd either come in my thoughts or I'd see the name or, you know, something. So, I mean, I don't think any of us, today you may feel like you're doing everything, really well. And then the next day your mouth can just shoot off something, or you can have a bad thought. And learning that thoughts are just as equal almost to deeds. You know, it's hard to think that you're any higher than a piece of dirt on the ground. And I guess
always remember it's relative. Think of yourself as a chain of souls, which is the term used in Kabbalah. The previous generations are higher than the generation today. We were members of the previous generations. We achieved tikkuns relative to certain parts of our body. What is within us today, what is our soul today, is less than it was in earlier generations, in earlier incarnations. Where were you in your first incarnation? Your chain of souls goes back to where? Your chain of souls goes back to one of three people. Chava, Cain, and Abel, and their wives. In your case, being female, the wives. And in the male and female relationships, it's one of seven people. As the sages said, two lay down and seven got up. Referring to Adam and Eve, bearing Cain and Abel, and the three sisters, one for Abel and twin sisters for Cain. So the other way around, two for Abel and one for Cain. But those are the seven. So can you be higher than one of those seven? You are one of those seven. But always remember, what is your root? The putrid stream of sperm. You have to have both levels of consciousness and know when to choose which one. Adam, Cain, and Abel are all righteous. Even Cain, who committed murder, did teshuvah before his death. Are there any other questions?
Thank you for all that. We'll have to listen to the recording again.
You're welcome. Tonight, or this afternoon, at 3 o'clock, we will have an advanced reincarnation class, followed by a class at 4, or whenever the reincarnation class ends, we will have our Rosh Chodesh Shvat event. So I hope you will join us, and I will put the recording up as quickly as possible. Tomorrow morning, Monday morning at 7 a.m., we will have a Tanit Dibur, a study of the Psalms. I hope you'll join us for that as well. And tomorrow afternoon, we will have the deep Zohar class from Lech Lecha at 4:30. And at 7 o'clock, the writings of the Ari. A lot of classes. I hope you will join us. I bid you all Shavua Tov, a wonderful week. A week filled with the openness associated with, the expansiveness associated with a moon, a new moon that starts with the south node, which is a cleansing of your old tikkun and a new renewal of this moon, because it starts in the Sagittarius. So it's very much expansive consciousness. Shalom to all. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you.